Grace to you and wow, bring that down just a little bit because I've only got one volume and that's a little too much. Thank you, Jason. Whoa, don't want to hurt people, you know. First thing Sunday morning, grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, by the power of His Holy Spirit, who calls us to faith in Christ, keeps us there safe, safe in faith, even unto the end. Amen. Well, the Word of God to which we pay special heed today is the reading that was shared with you from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Do we have any English teachers? Okay, God bless you. Any other English teachers? Okay, anyone that deals with composition at all? Okay, yeah, okay. You know what he read? In the original Greek is one sentence. He would not pass your course, man. No, it's amazing. And he has one point, and then there's a lot of stuff in there. You could preach like 8-10 sermons out of this. I'm not going to do that because I know some of you, like want to get home. But I'm excited to be here today because I just want to bring you some affirmation. That song was wonderful. Great selection of a song, Remind me who I am, Who I am to you. Paul wants to remind God's people in Ephesus, but also remind God's people in Bloomfield Hills who y'all are. That you are God's people in Christ. Be affirmed of that. My central thought is simply this. Jesus followers need never question their value. They need never question their destiny because of five affirming facts. I'm going to share five affirming facts with you about your value and also about your destiny. I think people, myself included, really struggle with our sense of value. You might not think about that. Well, I'm pretty important. I've got a lot of followers on Facebook. I got a lot of friends. I got 18,000 friends on Facebook. But we still question our value. We question our value when we compare ourselves to other people. We question our value when we review our past failures. We question our value when we get less than stellar reviews from others. Sometimes even those closest to us, like a spouse. My oldest son was head of housing at a large state university in another state, and he had to deal with a suicide of a young woman. She hung herself in her dorm room and left this note, "My life isn't worth living because I wasn't accepted into the sorority." People question their value. I question my value sometimes. How much I produce in a given day is my value. That's how I was raised. You have more value if you produce more stuff every day, if you get more work done every day. I was talking to Bob before worship. I was frustrated yesterday. I couldn't get from point A to point B. I was running errands. I'd given myself an hour and a half to get all this done, and it was taking longer. And I wasn't valuable because I was stuck in traffic, flooded roads. They should know I'm coming. You begin to question your value when you don't accomplish what you want. Sometimes we doubt our destiny. We're confused about our present location. Just where am I anyway in life? Or we can be out of gas emotionally, out of gas spiritually, out of gas physically, and you're just tired. You're just wore out by life. Just exhausted. I was in, back in 2019 BC, that's before COVID, I was visiting a congregation on the west side of Detroit in the evening. It was wintertime, and so darkness came early. And at that particular time, in that section of the city, there was a lot of construction. I got there just fine, because it was still light out. And I had my meeting with the good folks there. And then I was going to leave, and it was, night had fallen. And in that particular section of the city, lots of construction, I said, but also streetlights were really not there, okay? I don't mean the flashing ones. I mean, like, streetlights. I mean, there's no light. And did I mention that it was nighttime? I know Detroit pretty well, but there was construction, and they 294, that little sign, 294, so I follow like 294. I'm driving with confidence. Turn right to go to 94 detour. Then they figured out, if you got this far, you ought to just know. Because all the signs were gone. No more signs. And my car didn't have one of those little things like you're heading south. It didn't have a compass. I have a new car. So I stop. I pull over. Very safety conscious. You know me. I pull over. I pull out my phone. And I punch into my phone on the maps. You know, I punch in, you know, my home address. The GPS asks this stupid question. From your present location? Question mark. No! From South Africa! Yes! I want it from my present location! We don't always know where we are. And so we don't always know our destiny. So let me share with you five affirming facts about where you are and what that says about your value and what that says about your destination. It's from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And thank you, I want to say Don. Am I getting that right? Don. I meet people, you know, and I've got a file that corrupts pretty quick, but it's Don. I don't know if you noticed, but 10 times in these few verses, the Apostle Paul uses the phrase in Christ or in Him, referring to Christ or in the one he loves. Did you notice it? 10 times in one sentence, brother. One sentence, 10 times. You think maybe the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, has something to say about being where? In Christ. In Christ. For He chose us in Christ. You were to receive every spiritual blessing in Christ. You were predestined to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption. And He made known the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to bring all things under heaven and on earth together under one Lord, even Christ. In Him you are also chosen, in Christ, that we might that God might be praised to His glory. You are marked in Him with a seal of the Holy. 10 times. So my five affirming facts are all in Christ. So if you're taking notes, here's number one. And some of you are saying, he's just now getting to the body of his sermon. We will be here till they start playing NFL football again. No. Number one, in Christ we are chosen. In Christ you are chosen. Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room the night he was betrayed in John chapter 15, you did not choose me, but what? I chose you. God is always the initiator. God chooses. He selects. He picks out. God chose you. You did not choose God. It wasn't random. Paul says, before the creation of the world, God chose you. Before you were a twinkle in your father's eye, God chose you. When you were being formed in the womb, God chose you. When you first saw the light of day, God chose you. When you were brought to the water of holy baptism, God chose you. God, when you got up this morning, God chose you. You are in Christ, chosen of God. God has been intentional your whole life. Do not doubt your value. You are chosen of God. Secondly, in Christ, you are adopted and therefore share in His inheritance. You are adopted and you share in His inheritance. Galatians 4, Paul writes about that we've been adopted. We're co-heirs with Christ. So everything that Christ has, and He has everything, is yours. The kingdom is yours. What is it with this thing? For those of you who are watching online, he is having technical difficulty. But you are adopted. Adopted as sons and co-heirs with Christ, all that belongs to Christ belongs to you and to me. We need not fend for ourselves. And yet, have any of you read any of Brené Brown's books? She's a social scientist and anthropological researcher, and she writes great books. I encourage you to do that. She talks about how we live in a society of scarcity. You get up in the morning, and the first thing you think of is, I didn't get enough sleep. And you go on the rest of the day, I'm not thin enough, I'm not beautiful enough, I'm not attractive enough, I don't make enough money, I don't have enough food, or maybe I have too much food, that's why I'm not thin enough, I don't know what the deal is, but there's not enough. We always feel like we're in scarcity. But Paul wants to remind us that in Christ we've been adopted, we're part of God's family, we inherit everything. Everything is yours. And God gives so generously, and yet we live and we give like paupers when God has given us everything. Don't question your value. You're part of the family of God. You've been chosen, you've been adopted, and you will inherit it all. Thirdly, in Christ, we are redeemed and we are forgiven. We are redeemed and we are forgiven. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption, that is, purchased through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In Christ you were redeemed, you were purchased. This was given to you as a gift. God didn't say, how about because these are such nice people at Cross of Christ in Bloomfield Hills, I'll send Jesus for them. Is that what he said? No, he said, because they're messed up too, I will send Jesus for them. God takes action. He comes to us. He redeems us, purchases us back from sin and Satan and death, and He sets us free. We've been purchased with His blood, even as God offered the first sacrifice, clothing Adam and Eve. You ever think about that? Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve, what do? They eat the fruit from the tree that God said don't eat from, right? And then God comes, He says, hey, Adam, where are you? I'm hiding in the bushes, And then God says, what have you done? Have you eaten from the tree? Well, yeah, see, this woman whom you gave me, it's really your fault. She gave me and I ate. Oh. And we're naked and we're ashamed. And so what does God do? It says God clothed them with skins of an animal. So who offered the first sacrifice to cover over sin and shame? God did. Some animals lost their life so that we could be clothed. The story is fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who gives His life so that we might be in Him and covered with His blood and have our sins forgiven. We can stand before God in His new covenant, covered by the blood of Christ. Don't question your value. Look at the cross of Jesus and know that you are so valuable that God gave His Son for you. Paul goes on, verse number 4, in Christ we are included in God's eternal plan. So you want to know about your destiny? You have doubts about your destiny? Well, if you know where you are, you're in Christ. Your destiny is secure too. It's also in Christ. In Christ, we are included in God's eternal plans. Are you looking for purpose in your life? Are you looking for some direction in your life? God's got it for you. You're part of His kingdom. You're part of His kingdom process. Guess what? God has called you and equipped you and brought you into His family so that you might call and equip others and bring them into God's family by your testimony. You get to tell other people, you know, God loves you too. You can be a part of God's family. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Know that your sins too are covered and paid for by the blood of Christ. You're part of God's eternal plan, His work. A couple years ago when I was in high school, I had a buddy of mine named Art Freisinger. Art Freisinger was not the cleanest person. Who is it with Snoopy and Charlie Brown? Pigpen. Okay. Think. Okay. You with me? Okay. So Art... I mean, I was in wrestling, and I didn't wrestle long because we were like the same weight class, and so in practice, you couldn't hang on to the guy. He was just, it was, wow. But Art was also a tenor. We sang in choir together, and he stood next to me, and Art loved to sing, but he couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. I mean, he was just, he tried, you know. Had him been a Christian school, he'd have been making a joyful noise. But when Mr. Scarehut, our music instructor, kind of was so patient with Art. And Art, I need you to sing this note. Ah. And Art would go, ah. No, this note, Art. Ah. And Art would go, ah. Finally, Mr. Scarehut took Art by the side of his greasy head and put his forehead against Art's forehead. And I'm sitting next there and going, I ain't never going that close. This is one committed teacher. He's going skin to skin. They put their heads together and he held him tight. And Art started, and then the vibration in the skull, he came into tune. Art could finally hear the pitch. Because he went skin to skin. God has gone skin to skin with you. And you can now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, sing the pitch that God has given to you. Ah, because you are where? In Christ. And finally, don't question your destiny, because in Christ you are marked with the Holy Spirit as a down payment. How many of you own your own home or in the process of owning your home? I'm in the process. I don't know about you, but I'm in the process of owning my home. Okay. And when we first selected this home, we did what? We put down what? Earnest money. We said, like, we're serious about this. And if we walk away, what happens? We lose the earnest money, right? That's what the word is here when God says He's given you the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as earnest money. God is committed. He's committed. He's going to see you through on this. All the way to the end. All the way until Jesus returns in glory. As you begin this new season, as God grants grace, and we pray that Pastor Skopek accepts the call, receives the call, sees it as something that God wants in his life to come and serve you here. As you begin a new journey in this congregation, or as you begin a new beginning, of new work, new opportunities, whatever it is, know that God is committed to you. He's going to see you through because He's given His Holy Spirit as a down payment. He knows your future. You can be less anxiety. You don't have to have as much anxiety. God has given a promise. He has bound himself to you by covenant. So friends, when you think about your value, when you think about your destiny, it's in Christ. It's not in your education. It's not in your church membership. It's not in your relationships with other people. It's not in being good. It's not in being respectable. It's in Christ. So to close this out, I need you to help me. Otherwise, we'll be here all day. So you are going to help me. That's my encouragement to you today. I'm an encourager. I need you to say, when I point to you, I need you to say, in Christ. Okay? Ready? So let's practice.
In Christ.
One more. I can't hardly hear you.
In Christ.
See, that helps the people worshiping at home. Right? Ready?
In Christ.
I am chosen.
In Christ.
I am made a child of God.
In Christ.
I inherit the kingdom.
In Christ.
I am forgiven.
In Christ.
I am free. I am enough.
In Christ.
I am gifted to serve.
In Christ.
I am part of God's eternal plan.
In Christ.
I have victory.
In Christ.
My destiny is secure.
In Christ.
I have hope.
In Christ.
Amen. Amen. Hey, we have opportunity to speak words of faith, to affirm that among ourselves, and also to proclaim it to the world. We're going to use the ancient words of the 9th.